You're listening to Vatican Radio. An interfaith forum took place in Jerusalem on Wednesday, exploring the importance of that holy city for Jews, Christians and Muslims alike. Entitled Jerusalem and the Monotheistic Religions, Symbols, Attitudes, Real Life, the forum was organised by the Pontifical Notre Dame Centre there, together with the European University of Rome. Among the keynote speakers at the event was Rabbi David Rosen, Honorary President of the International Council of Christians and Jews, and a well-known voice for improving interfaith relations. He talked to me about the timely nature of this interreligious encounter.
I think that the important message that needs to come out of this conference, and I hope I will be able to contribute, is that Jerusalem can never be anybody's exclusive embrace, and we will only truly succeed in seeking the peace of Jerusalem, to use the phrase of the psalmist, when we can recognize and respect and even embrace the attachments of others to the city. There, for most of the last 2,000 years, the city has been denied to a greater or lesser extent, or simply minimized by whether it was a Christian or Muslim power in place. And now, for the first time since the Maccabean era, since the Hasmonean household, Jews are politically in control of the fate of Jerusalem. And relatively speaking, I suppose you could say that it's in comparison with the way it was historically, the situation is far better. But of course, Jerusalem is at the center of Palestinian nationalism and Jewish nationalism in the form of the State of Israel, and thus it becomes not just a place of conflict, but a tool of conflict in which the sides exploit its spiritual potency for their own advantage and to the degree that they think it is to the disadvantage of the other. And this is, in effect, a zero-sum mentality, and we will only truly prosper when we can move beyond the zero-sum mentality and recognize the attachment of the other as a blessing and not as something to feel cursed by.
Do you see it as really the most significant stumbling block of the entire peace process? In other words, even if all the other issues can be resolved, this is really at the heart?
No, not really. I think where there is not a will to be able to find a peaceful resolution, the focus of conflict, and a very combustible one that can cause conflagration way beyond the immediate confines. So it becomes a focus. However, I believe that if Palestinians and Israelis and the Arab world together with Israel were truly willing to find a peaceful resolution conflict and capable of doing so, there's no reason why Jerusalem should be an obstacle. In fact, paradoxically, Jewish religious teaching precisely guarantees the Muslim presence on the Temple Mount, because according to the vast majority of rabbinic opinion, including the current chief rabbinate and chief rabbis throughout the generations, Jews are not meant to go onto the Temple Mount. Thank God Israel is a secular democracy. That sounds strange coming from an Orthodox rabbi. But thank God Israel is a secular democracy and people don't have to listen to what rabbis say. Of course, I'd like them to, but I want to live in a society where they are free not to. And therefore, Jews can go onto the Temple Mount. Of the religious establishment and the vast majority of religiously observant Jews, and especially the ultra-Orthodox, there is no intent, desire, or even support for Jews ascending to the Temple Mount. So the ability for Islam to be able to continue unhindered by Jewish attachments is actually a religious law. And the competition with regards to Christian sites is within Christendom, isn't between Christianity and Islam or Judaism. So if there was to be a peaceful resolution, there is no reason why, whatever the actual administrative structure is, that Arab Jerusalemites can't see themselves as being part of a Palestinian state, Israeli Jerusalemites seeing them part of the State of Israel, and ways to live within Jerusalem respecting each other's attachment to the holy sites. But that only comes as a result of a willingness for that respect, for that peaceful resolution.
Where do you see the role of religious leaders from all these three faiths? Where do you see their role in trying somehow to influence the political process, which, to be honest, looks as bleak today as it ever has done before?
So one of the most remarkable achievements, in some ways, one of the blessings that came out of the historic visit of St. John, a council that we were able to establish, of religious leaders in the Holy Land, called the Council of Religious Institutions of the Holy Land. They even have a website, crihl.org. Now, this council was established with three purposes. One purpose is to keep open avenues of communication between religious leaders. The second was to condemn incitement and any attacks on any of the sites of any of the three religions or their adherents. The declared intention was to provide religious support for political initiatives to bring an end to the conflict so that two nations and three religions may flourish in the land. All the religious leaders, official leaders, chief rabbinate, the Sharia courts of the Palestinian Authority, the Ministry of Waqf, and all the patriarchs and the bishops were signed on to that. With regard to the first two goals, I would say there's been some moderate achievement. With regard to the third that you're asking me about, I could say it's a complete failure. But it's not a failure because the religious leaders don't want to be brought in. On the contrary, they would like to be brought in to support a process, but the political leaders aren't interested in them doing so. And here in this part of the world, and I would say throughout the region of the Middle East and North Africa and many other parts of the world, religious leaders are appointed, if not subjugated, by political authorities. So they're not going to challenge their respective political authorities. So any anticipation that religious leaders are going to bring about some kind of breakthrough in the political reality is delusional. However, as at a meeting of the Representatives' Council with President Trump's envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, the Lutheran Bishop of Jerusalem said to him, "We won't be able to bring about peace, but peace will not succeed and hold together without us." And I think if us means the religious voices within the community, then that's true. And the role of the religious leaders can be a very significant in contributing to the successful peace process, providing the voices of the identities, the spiritual identities that connect people to this land. And I think part of the failure of peace initiatives in the past has been a failure to take the religious dimension seriously. So I think they've got a very important role to play, but they can only play that role, or will only play that role, if and when there is a political initiative on the part of the powers that be.
How timely then, or how significant do you think this conference is, given, of course, the tensions that we've seen again at Temple Mount over just the last week?
Yes, well, it's timely to highlight precisely these points. One is how combustible Jerusalem is, how it is exploited as a political football, how it is used as a lightning conductor for all kinds of complexities, and how it is delusional to think that we can resolve this conflict without the religious dimension. So in that sense, it's highly apposite.